once the minutes are confirmed, and I've got audio now as well. I ask elected members if they foresee any item on the agenda where they might have a conflict of interest. Councillor Schilling?
To the ALGA motion, because I am attending, I'm not 100% sure.
No, you're doing so in the course of your duties, so no issue there. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last meeting? Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Mason. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. Would someone like to move that the communications reports be received? Councillor Gard, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. So we go down to committee recommendations. They could be the two, finance and audit and planning and development, could be taken on block if you wish. We'd like to move those minutes to be received. Councillor Mason, seconded. Councillor Masika. If there are no questions, then all those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. We now come to confidential items and I think we just need to take these. We could probably take the two relating to audit together. Would someone like to move the cover reports of the minutes of the Finance and Audit Committee and the internal audit contract together? Councillor Duncan and Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So staff present will need to be aware whether they are included in those items on pages 41, 43. Otherwise, they'll have to depart. We're going into confidence. I beg your pardon, have I got an urgent notice of motion to thank Mr. Skull for his 5 years of service at Marion? I'll accept the motion. Councillor Valescu, thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard? Any discussion? We've had plenty of discussion. All those in favour? That's carried. So Mr. Skull would like to respond.
This is not working, but can I thank you all, elected members? Thank you for a wonderful dinner and thank you for your kind, beautiful presence and generosity. And thank you for 5.5 wonderful years.
Thanks, Adrian. Since we're coming out of confidence temporarily, so the door could be opened. In relation to the confidential questions taken on notice register, I've had discussions with the manager of governance because one of the questions that was taken on notice, admittedly during a confidential session, doesn't actually have any confidential material in it. So it's we should probably just express our views on that. So the mayor doesn't think it should be retained in confidence, but. Ms. McKenzie, what's your view?
Through the chair, our process on these items have been that when the question has been taken on notice during a confidential item, that it has remained as part of that item and remained in confidence, which is why it's been placed there, which is that has been our standard practice.
Actually, I suppose there is a difficulty because the title in conjunction with the question probably does make a difficulty, so maybe we should just proceed. If you go back to page 44, the cover report as to questions taken on notice, Shall we just go with that? Councillor Velescu moved. Yep. Councillor, is that seconded? Councillor Mason? Any further debate? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. So we'll ask those that aren't listed on just after page 45 of the agenda to leave the room, and we're in confidence before we proceed. So could those dealing with the Edwardstown Soldiers Memorial Recreation Ground profit share model come in, and those not involved potentially go out? Would someone like to move that confidentiality motion? Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Velescu. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So once the appropriate staff are in the room, we'll close the door. Out of confidence, and we go on to tree management. Just for something complete, is Councillor Velescu? It has been our practice, but when it's clear cut and Councillor Masika moved that way, it's permissible to join it with the substantive motion. Ms. McKenzie's nodding. Tree management. So, we're on page 50. Now, if you'll remember, some members would remember that there was a presentation, an excellent presentation, to the Asset and Sustainability Committee about the work that's being done to not only monitor trees and study what we have, but also to better plan for the future. And one of the pleas that was made by staff was, oh my goodness, we need more resources if we're going to do this properly. So, Councillor Crossland to move. Is it seconded? Councillor Schilling to second. Anything to add, Councillor Schilling? Any opposition? A question, Councillor Gargis? All right, let's start with that part of the question. Who would like to answer that, Mr. Jaggard or Ms. Harvey? Ms. Harvey.
Thank you, through the chair. Sorry, Councillor Gard, could you just repeat the question?
Yes, I can see that we've got X expansion rate of 3,000 plus square metres now per
right, Ms. Harvey.
Thank you, through the chair. So the 3,500 trees that we'd like to propose is certainly something that we would aim for year on year. We recognise that at the moment we run on our estimations around a 5% mortality rate with our newly planted trees. We'd like to push that down to a 2% mortality rate with better watering regimes and the arborists who can care for our trees. And we would also really like to target loss of trees through private properties through the proposals that we've put forward. So I think if we could get all of those happening well, then we could aim to get those 3,500 trees in and continue to grow the canopy.
Are these questions that members are putting their hands up for? All right, Councillor Masika first.
Thanks, Your Worship. It's very good to see that the council embarking on planting up these trees. My question is, if you look up the planning and design code, they say each house block, they have to plant one tree. Do you know how many houses are going to be built in a year so that we can have accurate understanding how many trees are we expecting a year? Because we are planning for 3,500, and if they're going to build 1,000 houses, so that means we have 4,500. So how many houses are we planning? How many trees are we expecting, plus the other one from planning and the design code will give us in a year?
Through the chair, unfortunately, I don't have the figures of how many houses we're expecting. What we are seeing through urban infill, though, is reduce opportunities to plant on verges, because with all of the driveways that are going in, there's less and less space to plant trees, and also increasing requests to remove trees that are on verges now. So on council property, our tree removals and our opportunity to plant trees is continuing to get harder. So we want to work particularly hard to find every available location where we can plant a tree. I can certainly take on notice the question around the infill housing. Yep.
All right. Councillor Vlescu.
Two questions. First of all, are we going to be, you know, first stage is looking at Oaklands Park and a couple of other suburbs. Now, there is going to be significant redevelopment in Oaklands Park that may, I'm not sort of too aware of the details of it, but it may impact on some of the trees. So is that something that we're going to hold off if there are going to be any urban infill projects that we won't be rolling out this, the plan, especially that Oaklands Park, they reckon up to 8 years could happen, and others are probably going to happen in a similar time frame? That's my first question.
Mr. Jeckard.
Park, we've quarantined off a portion in forestry as to where the Oaklands Green development's going to occur, so we're not going to be planting in that vicinity. The planning, indicative planting numbers for Oaklands Park on the sheet are outside of that quarantined area.
Thank you, Mr. Secafine.
And my other question is, are we, is council going to be provided with details on the impact of existing trees, both on public and private property, from some of these sort of brownfield developments? Because there's some areas, obviously, there are a lot of trees, and if there's going to be more infill, those trees are going to go. So is that something that can be provided to council as soon as it's available? For all of those projects in the context of this policy.
Ms. Harvey.
Thanks, you. Through the chair, certainly we can look at, I know that with the Oaklands Green redevelopment, we have sought a tree assessment for the whole project, which may be something that we can bring through, or the person that's sort of overseeing that project from a council staff perspective could bring through to council.
I thought we might have already seen that, but I might be wrong. Councillor Hull? And Ms. Harvey.
Through the chair, it's a good question, Councillor Hull. Unfortunately, we don't have a register of all of our regulated and significant trees across the city that we're aware of, so we're not quite sure how many there are out there, and we're not quite sure how many people would be seeking support from the fund. What we do estimate is for someone to get their significant or regulated tree assessed and to do some maintenance pruning would be around about $1,000. And so I guess the fund could look to incentivise with a 50% contribution to that, so we might be able to support 40 applicants through the fund in the first year. So it was something that we thought seemed like a reasonable number, not knowing how willing people would be to look to use the fund.
I mean, if it ran out in a month, then you could report back to council and a motion could be brought.
Yep, certainly. Through the chair, through our customer event system, we certainly have a number of, we can do a, run a report on private trees where we've had logs of complaints or concerns. So we can certainly get in touch with those people and let them know if the fund was to get up that it's available for them to access.
So, a question?
I'd like to know an explanation as to how that happened and how we can stop it from happening in the future. There's no tree canopy.
Through the chair, I guess from our perspective, from an open space perspective, we've been speaking very closely with our contract, staff who are managing that contract, and we met just very recently to talk about going to, and doing some site assessments and having a look at what are the main issues along the streets, where are the trees being broken and pruned on our behalf, and if there is anything that we can do, and meet with the contractor around ensuring that we can stop that problem happening.
Order that you've had three questions. Thank you, Councillor, but of course feel free to take it up by email with staff subsequently. Councillor Telfer.
My question's about volumes of water on trees. Currently I see the truck going by watering 1 or 2 year trees once a fortnight. What volume of water are they putting on each tree? It's comes out at quite a rush.
Through the chair, this is the reason why we use the Greenwell watering system. You might have seen the green plastic containers that surround the trees. So one of those big ones will ensure that each tree gets 40 litres when filled up, and then that then permeates down through the root ball. So each visit, the tree is getting 40 litres of water.
Mr. Telfer?
So following on, so the proposal is for weekly for 6 months. So you will be giving 40 litres weekly for 6 months for 3 years. That's your proposal to increase that watering regime?
Through the chair, the weekly watering occurs in the first 2 years, and then in the third year it moves to a fortnightly watering. So they'll get 40 litres a week in the first year, 40 litres a week in the second, and then 40 litres a fortnight in the third.
Very good. Now, did Councillor Mason have a question?
Yeah, I was just looking at the table. So with Mitchell Park, there's 1,400 indicative planting locations available. Is that including parks or is that just street trees?
Through the chair, no, that's just street trees. It doesn't take into consideration what we've got in our reserves because we haven't done, the big gap in our data is our reserve. Component.
Okay, so that just leads me into one more question. What is the possibility? I know that looking at the scoring, so there's quite a lot of them that have 9 and then quite a lot of them that have 5, and it's getting down to like 2022 and then 2023. Is there a way to kind of share the suburbs around so they're all getting trees within like the next few years, as in so we do all the suburbs, some of them this year and then next year going on that way, if that makes sense?
Through the chair, yes, I mean the program does have an amount of flexibility in it. Some of those indicative planting locations are still to be ground truthed as well, so that may show up some adjustments as we go. Yeah, and also we're still doing customer request planting, so we still receive, you know, between 400 and 600 customer requests across the city each year for tree planting, and that will continue. And obviously if along the way a hotspot presents or is reported to us, which means we may need to bring a street forward in the program in a certain suburb, then we can certainly do that with our systems.
It's been moved and seconded. No one's really disputing it. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. We'll go, and thanks Mr. Secafeen and Ms. Harvey for your good work. Page 59, local LGA submission behavioural management framework. I just Perhaps I could kick off with a question here. The comment from an elected member: if a council member is convicted of an offence which occurs during the election process, they should no longer be able to serve on council. I was just wondering why that, perhaps that could be extended. Why should it be limited to what occurs during an election process? Just putting it out there as a question. Anyway, it's your debate, members. Who would you like to move that, or what would you like to do? Yes. Would anyone like to move a motion? Yes. Sure. Just a moment for a question. Or somebody else could still kick the debate off. Councillor Hutchinson, you're moving as printed, subject to any suggestions that members might make. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. The one I had really an issue with is on page 79, which is part of our response to the LGA submission, where we've got the behavioural standards and additional standards could include. And we've gone back to this, must ensure that social media and other forms complies with the code and all material must be factually correct. We've sort of been there, looked at that policy, discounted it, and now it seems to be sneaking in the back door. So I actually still don't support those first two additional points. The last one, hey, that can stay in. It's sort of half covered with other legislation except for the occupation one, but I just think that's a bit of overreach, where we've got to make sure your social media's factual and everything else is sort of swaying outside of the sphere.
The best way to deal with this, all right, I did rush in to sort of get a mover to kick it off, but there's no reason we can't suspend standing orders if we want to just take the temperature on various points in there.
Can I move that way?
Move to suspend. Suggestion. Might be the best way with one of these things where there are multiple points. That's seconded, Councillor Gard. All those in favour of suspension, that's carried unanimously. So that means we can be informal, just take a show of hands on that point. Councillor Crossland would like those two points out regarding social media, etc. Every must deal with every, in accordance with every policy, etc.
Just a clarification on that.
Yes.
This is just our response. Discussion paper, isn't it? Like, the LGA is not going to completely implement what we say.
No, this will be one of many responses, and they'll mostly be ignored. So
probably all be ignored, but we don't want to give them any bad ideas.
So well, just on that one, just a quick show, snap poll, quick show of hands. Who's in favour of taking them out? Who's in favour of them being in? Well, yeah, who's in between or whatever? My goodness, I think I'm getting more in favour of taking them out. Councillor Hutchinson, are you happy to go along with that as mover? Well, it can be dealt with as an amendment more formally. We can do that. Now, what about the dot point I was referring to on page 81, the first dot point? Any view on that, Councillor Clancy?
Yeah, I think we need to either make it for the whole period or at any time.
Just before, if we're going to have it, we need to have it for the whole period, not just during an election. And are we talking criminal? Are we talking civil? I think we just need a bit more information there if we're going to include it. Does the LGA have an appetite for not allowing convictions of elected members? Nothing in their framework.
Well, at the moment, it's not the law. But hence the consultation question. Councillor Clancy, you put two different sort of options there: either take it out or have it apply to all offences. Do you have a preference you'd like to test?
I would just take it out at this point.
All right. Just a quick show of hands. Who would like to see that taken out? Who would like to see it stay as it is? Taken out? Yeah, I'm getting a majority there. Who would like to keep it where it is? Getting a few. So as mover, do you want to take that dot point out, Councillor Hutchinson? All right, let's... We do have suspended, but... Councillor? We're talking about a policy submission to the LGA.
Taking up that specific dot point,
all right,
can be construed as a clear conflict of interest.
You're raising a point of order. It is, of course, a matter for the councillor concerned. I don't see it having an impact retrospectively. That's right. Ms. McKenzie, your view?
Sorry, what was the question?
We're looking at the first dot point on page 81, and Councillor Hull is raising a point of order, so-called, claiming that another member has a conflict of interest. I've suggested I don't see a conflict of interest because it's not... First of all, it's a policy suggestion to the LGA. Secondly, it even as stated, it's not retrospective, so I can't see any conflict. What's your view, Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, yes, I would agree. It's not retrospective. It would apply moving forward.
Well, taking that advice, there's no point of order. So that motion is without... Sorry, what was suggested was to delete the first dot point.
Delete the whole thing.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Delete the dot point.
Okay.
Yes. Order. Order. There was no point of order. You can't go on with it. Now, are there any other dot points that people would wish to question? Councillor Hull?
Thank you. What about going back to Councillor Clancy's point about having some inclusion in that criminal actions all together?
There was a show. We're still with standing orders suspended. We had a show of hands. The motion the mover's prepared to adapt the motion to what the majority indicated. Anything that is done once standing orders resume can be the subject of amendment. So there's really that's where you go with it if you want to go in anywhere. Order, no, you can't really take that any further, Councillor Hull. That's what I'm telling you. Councillor Valescu? Councillor, do you want to leave the meeting? Councillor Valescu? Ms. McKenzie.
I don't have the Election Act here, but from my memory, it is those that relate to indictable offences, and that is what the test is at the time of when, obviously, the candidate is raising their nomination.
It doesn't carry out none of those offences make the person unfit if they're accused and found guilty?
Well, if it was an indictable offence and they served prison time, then clearly they would not be able to fulfil their duties as an elected member.
Councillor Crossland, did you have a point you wanted to discuss?
Just on that, though, I'm a little bit confused by that. So if somebody was convicted 20 years ago of an indictable offence, are you saying that they are excluded?
Actually, there was a cautionary note there. The caveat was we don't have the Local Government Act in front of us. That's where the answer is, but neither Ms. McKenzie nor I can remember exactly what that provision is.
Yeah, because I'd just be thinking as well that there's the period of time where it's a spent conviction, so that might also influence it.
Spent convictions will apply to minor offences only. according to the state legislation. But I don't see how that's going to have a direct bearing on the policy setting that we're suggesting back to the LGA. Councillor Velescu? I see we're getting into debate. If there are no other dot points to be raised, then Councillor Hutchinson has moved. And do we have a seconder for that motion? We may have an amendment coming up. No.
I'm not quite sure which ones were removed and which ones.
It's only, sorry, it is on the screen behind you. I know that's awkward to see, but it's only the dot point relating to section 6, which is at the top of page 81. So the 2 points that yes, that was what the chair could see coming. That's there's no problem with that. A point of order from Councillor Hull.
Can that be spelled out for the public in my review's minutes?
Councillor Hull, there's no point of order. The as disclosed at the outset of the meeting, the audio is available to members of the public. And please don't argue with the chair. The written minutes and the audio recording are the public record of the meeting beyond any members of public present for the meeting.
That's exactly what
order, Councillor. Don't push the chair any further. You are continually answering back, and that would not be good to take further. We've had a motion that's been moved. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Velescu, did you wish to speak further? There's an amendment from Councillor Crossland, I think, to take out the second and third dot points on page 79.
Dot points out, they should be highlighted in the motion, what you've taken out, and the same for the page 81, please.
Well,
so I'll make that amendment, but actually have the items we're removing written in the motion.
So if we can, we need to actually type out the dot points then.
Cut and paste them in there,
yeah.
Remove this and remove
Well, it won't, in this context, it's a matter of retyping them, I think. But we can do that. We can put them into the minutes tomorrow when we tidy up. That'll apply to any reference to dot points. But at the moment, it's easier to refer to second and third dot points on page 79.
And the one on page 81 as well.
Yes. But we're talking about your amendment, aren't we?
Yes, but to
go ahead.
Yes,
it'll be fixed up.
So which two? He wants the one on page
79. 79, two and the second and third. Councillor Crossland, if you wish to speak to your amendment, go ahead.
Okay. Look, the reason why I just second think they should be added in is we had a debate all about social media policy, which pretty much is what this is sort of introducing by the back door, and we decided against it. So I know we've debated it and talked about it. If people think we should review another social media policy, I think that's a separate discussion for another day, not for on a document going to the LGA.
Is that amendment seconded? Councillor Telfer, wish to speak? As is our practice, I'll put the amendment. All those in favour, all those against, carried by majority. So we move on with the three dot points collectively removed, as a result of the amendment. So anyone further may speak on either side of the debate. Councillor Hull. I'm not sure that's true, but you go ahead with your debate.
Well, as I
fairly sure that's not true, but you go ahead. You go ahead, put your argument. Actually, Councillor Hull. No, that's certainly not what I was saying. There seems to be a lack of understanding about the nature of criminal offending. For local government, it is clear, and we've just checked the relevant legislation, a member's seat falls vacant if they are convicted of an indictable offence. Broadly speaking, which results in a sentence of, punishable by imprisonment, but pretty well all indictable offences are punishable by imprisonment. They are the more serious type of offences, as opposed to summary offences. There are a very large number of summary offences, such as, pinching money out of the collection tin at the local church. There are a whole range of them. So they wouldn't disqualify a member from office, either going for election or disqualifying them while they are a member. And I think one will find similar sort of provisions for state legislation, but it's not a matter of any offence disqualifying someone from state or federal parliament. Councillor, that's certainly getting gratuitous, but at any rate, what we're putting forward may not even see the sunlight on the Minister's desk, because it's going to the LGA, and what they then submit to the Minister will be decided over probably a rather large tray of spring rolls one day, and the Minister might make a decision based on that. So thank you for your contribution in the debate. Is there anyone else speaking in favour? Then I'll put the motion as amended. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. We can go on to Glendore Oval, page 83. Now, this is a site which the ward councillors and the mayor have inspected along with staff. There's actually quite a sensible little reconfiguration of a small part of the Glendore Oval sports complex. Staff have sort of sought agreement with relevant stakeholders, which has been forthcoming. There's a small federal government grant to go along and assist with the works that are proposed. I'll sort of look to the ward councillors, Councillor Masika.
Thank you, Your Worship. I would like to move the motion the way it is printed, and also I'd like to acknowledge the good work which has been done by the staff to bring this work complete and ready for the council to make a decision on that. Looking up The motion which has been printed is, myself have been in the ward for over 20 years, and the usage of that memorial garden is very, very minimal. Probably you can see very few people that can go there, and there's a huge, a very heavy traffic, and it doesn't allow people to cross easily from the other side to come to the memorial garden. And either all those who are living on the other side, they don't take time to go and visit up the memorial garden. So relocating that memorial garden to Edwardstown Memorial Ground, that is the best thing we can do, because we'll continue to honor the good work which was done by the corporal, RAF soldier Ian, at the same time open up to use up that place in a better way. So I would like to ask the fellow councillors to give it a go and ask you to support the motion.
Councillor Mason. That was seconded. No further discussion. A question from Councillor Gard.
Yes, just out of interest, in the transfer of the memorial gardens across to Edwardstown, is there any need for any public consultation on that? And is it something that can happen by internal means for City of Marion? Is that our land in particular, those gardens, or are they the club lands, or just not educated on that point?
I think you'll find it's community land in council ownership, but I'll ask Mr. Hubbard to perhaps amplify my comment that stakeholders have been consulted.
Through the chair, that's correct. The RSL has been consulted, the Stokel family has been consulted, and the mayor is correct in regards to the classification of that land, and we are looking to undergo a process of informing the community about that as well.
Good question. If there's nothing else, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. We're on to page 101, review of public open space irrigation. Councillor Clancy.
I'd like to move that we note the report. And I'd also like to note that we've got 11 respondents. I'm not sure if this reflects the lack of interest of the community to have the museum, or perhaps...
Beg your pardon. We're on public open space irrigation.
Sorry.
But you're quite welcome to move accordingly if you wish. Are you going to... You're going to turn off the hose for a moment? Okay, we'll come back to you. Councillor Schilling. All right, fire away.
My question is, I sent an email to Glyn earlier in the week, and it was mainly between the four of us and Mr. Ricketts. I just want to know what would come online if we decided to drop the score again to, say, 11. What other parks would come online, or even if we went to 10, where would those other parks come online, and roughly what sort of costs would they be?
Mr. Ricketts, be delighted to answer.
Thank you, Mayor. Through the chair, your question was around... dropping the score from 12 to 11. And I articulated in my response there would be 6 sites that would then need to be irrigated. Those 6 sites, I've given you the locations, mostly in the south and coastal. I think the water bill to increase those or cover those 6 sites would be around $23,000. And the CapEx to upgrade the irrigation systems is covered in the open space plan. Because those sites are already due for upgrades. The way we manage our open space plan now is over 8 years identified those sites, and it drives the entire site upgrade, not just irrigation. So it's a much more holistic way of looking at our open space. As regards to dropping it to 10, I can very quickly give you that information on notice. I haven't done that, but I think it's around about another 4 or 5 sites in addition to that.
So, Mr. Ricketts, though, what you're saying about those six or so sites, if it dropped down to numerical value of 11, they're going to gradually come on stream anyway via the open space plan?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Any other questions, Councillor? Did you want to move accordingly? Or? Yes.
I'll be short. I think it's quite self-explanatory. I think it's really good. Obviously, I'd like to further investigate us dropping it in the future, because I think a lot of residents, they look at a reserve and they go, I'll use it if it's green. I'm not going to use it if it's brown, especially when it comes to flat reserves. I have a couple of flat reserves in my ward that aren't irrigated. I know people would use them if they were irrigated and green. I know I would go to a green reserve before a brown reserve with a dog with a long coat because I don't want grass seeds. But I support what is written, but I would like further investigation in the future to drop it even more.
Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, just to echo Councillor Schilling, look, I think the reserves we've got currently irrigated are providing the amenity. Those additional sites, a lot of them are the coastal ones anyway, are on quite steep ground, so don't really add to the usable amenity. They'd look nice. But strategically, I agree that I'd actually prefer some flat reserves to be greened first. But I'm also very supportive of the extension of Oakland's recycled water and the investment there first as well.
Thank you. Was that a question, Councillor Hull?
Yeah. Mr. Ricketts, more good work. Thank you. I've had some emails in the last few days, which I haven't read yet, but I've asked questions about getting more information about the sea cliff connection and what opportunities lie with the Oakland's water along the way, because it is a fair distance. I'd love to actually maybe catch up with you to sit down and look at that closer. But do you envisage that there will be opportunities by virtue of the pathway of the water up to Seacliff to further irrigate reserves on the lines of Councillor Schilling's motion? So because of the convenience of that wetland water going past. And just quickly, Mr. Mayor, I want to reiterate that apart from the...
You're asking a factual question, Councillor.
Well, it's a question about balance. Will there be a reasonable balance between the commercial venture of sending water to Seacliff and Tonsley and also the very motion that is in front of us now of adding benefit to community reserves?
Mr. Ricketts.
Thank you. Will we investigate adding additional sites to the proposed sites that are on that route that we've already presented to Council? That route's been chosen through a very detailed optimisation process. It's around size of pipe, hydraulic losses, frictional losses. Is the site currently irrigated? How much pump energy we need? How much of the potable water we're displacing? So those sites have been selected because they're the low-hanging fruit. That doesn't preclude other sites being added in the future. It would be a cost versus reward equation, depending on is the site currently irrigated and how much potable water it's using. So we'll constantly ask ourselves that question to ensure that we're getting the best use of that extension. As regards the second point around that commercial return and supplying water to third parties, our methodology has always been to look after our own demands first. And any surplus water from Oaklands, we'd look to service third parties. And the Seacliff extension has exactly the same philosophy.
Well, that was an answer not to be missed. Thank you. Okay. Councillor Valesco?
My question is in regards to... do we still have patches of current reserve which aren't being irrigated? Because I know in the first incarnation there was larger reserves where we irrigated some and we didn't irrigate others. I'm just wondering if there are any of those left and if there's been any, and how the community thinks about it, sort of what their views are about it now.
The response to the partially watered reserves. Mr. Ricketts.
Through the chair. To put that into context, I believe we have around 600 water meters across the city. A lot of them will be properties and verges and roundabouts. I believe from memory we have around 250 water meters on public open space, and we currently irrigate around 126 reserves. So there would be, without doubt, a large number of pocket parts, verges, smaller reserves that we currently don't irrigate. All our local, neighbourhood, regional, any reserve with a playground is now irrigated. And as we implement our public, our open space plan, we're looking to irrigate more and more green space.
Mr. Ricketts, I think the question was about those reserves where decisions were made to irrigate part of a reserve. So Bandon Terrace be an example. The one in Parkholm near the pool is an example. So what has the public response been to those reserves where a decision was made to irrigate part of the reserve only?
I think the beauty of the irrigation management plan, it provides a really robust framework for not only what do we irrigate, but how much we irrigate. So we're able to defend that trade-off between using potable water and other alternative treatments. So as we apply non-irrigation techniques such as native landscaping, we're able to look at reserve in its entirety, not just a green patch of irrigated space, and that's been well received in my experience. There has been some debate and some discussion with some members of the public, but I think in general it's been well received.
Thank you. We have another question. Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, just a quick one. I haven't looked at the irrigation matrix for a number of years, but from memory it doesn't consider cost. Is that correct?
No. Through the chair, it certainly does consider cost. It considers cost of augmentation, capital replacement. It considers cost of the water, whether it's water from a bore, from Oaklands, or potable water. It considers cost of maintenance of once we irrigate that reserve, does it increase incremental your maintenance cost? So we're able, as the administration, to quickly tell members of the public and line management how much more it would cost if we drop the score from 10 or 12 to 11 or to 10.
I guess where I'm going with that is that if we have a small park which is a 10 and we're irrigating 11 and above, then if it's only a small cost for that small park to be irrigated, then that the matrix doesn't account for that at all. It's still a 10 and it's not irrigated.
Correct. If we drop the score from 12 to 11, we can tell you the incremental cost of adding on those six additional sites. Yes.
The alternative is to start playing with the matrix and make it easier for smaller reserves or flatter reserves to be irrigated. But how would we do that?
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm heading. I mean, if we get around at some stage to reviewing that matrix, because it's a difficult discussion with some of the members of the public sometimes when you have a small park which would be cheap to irrigate, falls just outside of our irrigation score, as opposed to something which is larger that we're irrigating. So I mean, there's always going to be those cases, regardless of how we set our boundaries. So it's maybe just something to have a look at next time.
Yeah, this might have been better as a forum item, to be honest. Could I ask Ms. McKenzie to put something into the informal discussion sessions in about 6 months or so, just to have a closer look at the matrix itself and some of these factors to see if councillors want to bring anything else forward for the following year? There being no other questions and a mover and a seconder, I'll ask for a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you, and thanks again, Mr. Ricketts. Well done. Now we move on to the museum. I think I've expressed some views about the consultation questions, so it's becoming a bit of a campaign of the mayor to get more meaningful consultation rather than ask how well do you think a museum would display old stuff and questions of that nature. Councillor Clancy.
Suggestion to move this one on block with a number of other, so I'm happy to move on block, I think, down to question taken on notice. No finance report.
Just to pause you there for a moment, we normally would consider motions with notice from elected members separately, but and I was certainly going to suggest, there's no reason you couldn't move those four on block if you wish, as printed. Do you wish to speak any further?
I'm not sure if it's the process or lack of interest by the community. I guess also this matter where now a bit hamstrung given we didn't win state government funding for it.
And is that seconded, Councillor Schilling? Any opposition or questions, Councillor Hull? Councillor Holt, you can speak to any of the four motions. So you're really taking a point of order about the four motions being moved on block?
Well, because they were related for a number, they're not related.
It's nonetheless we're in the hands of the council in that regard. For example, if the motion lapses or if there's an amendment to sever a motion, I suppose that could occur.
Can I take the opportunity to actually delve into the work health and safety
issue? Yes, please do. When motions are moved on block, it actually means you can speak to any of the motions moved. Thank you. It is a matter of concern indeed. Any other speakers in favour of any of the items? I beg your pardon. Ms. Dinsmore going to answer, or is there someone else? Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, you're correct in that we have had a peak in our lost time injuries. We are taking this very seriously and we are working with the relevant staff to see what is happening. Each of the injuries have been investigated and we've had a good look into them. There is nothing systemic that we can see at the moment, so it's not like the injuries have occurred as a result of a major incident. They have all been kind of minor incidents where, you know, people have stepped down and twisted their ankle in a divot, which has then caused a broken bone, and then that's obviously caused lost time. However, we are monitoring this very regularly. It gets discussed at the executive meetings every fortnight. We are working particularly with Fiona Harvey's area, as many of the injuries have occurred with the outside workforce. So it is very unfortunate, but I think the council can take it on board that it is top of mind for the organisation, that we are taking it seriously and safety is important and the safety of our staff is important.
Sorry, before we move on, any follow-up, Councillor Hull?
Through the chair, I'm not sure that there is any staff member here that would be able to answer the detail of that question.
So that would be a question on notice about the question on notice. So it's the
community garden.
Particular community garden group and their response to the policy. Is that right? All right, Councillor, that'll be a question on notice to find out from staff what the community garden group in your area considers about the policy. Very well. That's what Councillor here for. Councillor Gard.
Yes, just going back to the...
Oh.
Confidential.
No. Councillor Gard, go ahead.
Just going back to the work health and safety, I just had a question in relation to general counselling of staff.
Yep.
There's obviously procedural training for various functions, but is there general training of people, for example, to slow down, be methodical, think twice, etc.? So we can assume there is.
Yeah, through the chair, yes, there is. We have a full work health and safety program which focuses on, and we have themes every month about health and safety. So it might be ergonomics one month, it might be stretching, it might be slips, trips and falls. So we have a full program that covers the full range of our obligations under the Act to ensure that our staff are... that these topics are top of mind for them as well. So, yeah, we have a full program.
Councillor Telfer.
I refer in the finances to page 122, the table about the reserves, asset sustainability reserves. I'm very interested that we're going from 41 million down to 3.8 million. I would like some feedback from staff through the chair on whether staff are comfortable with that amount of change and with the amount of projected available balances that will be left at the end of the year.
Well,
through the chair, and thank you for your question. At the beginning of the financial year, the 41 million in reserves represented not just our normal sort of asset sustainability reserves, but also represents the grants and carryover reserve. So funds that were set aside for projects to be done and carried over into the financial year. So that $20.8 million of that $41 million was carried over, which includes grant funding for the likes of BMX, soccer, things like that as well, on top of our normal sort of carryover works. So ideally, we'd like all that funding to be spent and the works to be done. So we're quite happy with the reduction in the reserve from that perspective. All the reserves, these reserves are actually cash-backed, and we're quite comfortable with the rate of reserves. And obviously, that fund is about the asset sustainability reserve is available for a council to allocate funding towards strategic projects going forward. So it is reducing, but it's a fully cash-back reserve, and yeah, I'm happy for the way it's going at the moment, to be honest.
Just following on from that, that $38 million or so reduction in total reserves, so about half, or more than half of it, is just the carryover work being done effectively in the current financial year.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then you've got about $10.5 million, which is going towards our major projects, perhaps. And then there's... $9 million quarantined. I presume that's set aside in case we get co-funding for major projects. What is that for?
The other amounts quarantined are items quarantined. For example, we have fundings quarantined for the MCC Plaza, which is quarantined for future years, subject to grant funding being achieved. So it is actually identified for a particular project, and the balance at the very bottom is what's not allocated against any project at all.
That's right, and that'll be updated as we get news about grants, etc. And decide what to proceed with, what not to proceed with.
Yeah.
Councillor Telfer.
Going on then, Is there any concern then about the asset sustainability general reserve level at the end of the year of 1.1 million?
Through the chair. Look, the funding that is allocated within the, as obviously as the funds within the asset sustainable reserves are allocated by council, they will no longer be available for future projects. So it is up to council to allocate that money for as they see fit, and there's a council resolution to extract funding from that reserve. So as obviously if there's no if the funding in that reserve has been used, it limits the funding available for future strategic projects.
All right. I mean, that amount will top up from operating surplus each year. Projects that don't proceed will mean a positive variation, etc.
That's correct. Normally, we have if we have a surplus during the year from operations, following the audit of the financial accounts, any surplus will be allocated to the reserve fund.
Usually, okay, thank you. Any other questions on any of those items? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. So now we can go to the ALGA Notice of Motion, page 136, Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to move this way, and the staff comments are helpful with us to understand the situation now and the situation we'd like to bring about. It is interesting that the new planning code is predicated on this, even though it doesn't specifically mention it. It is predicated on the very issue we want to draw to the attention of the ALGA. It's a national issue, so it is the right venue for this to be taken up. And I'm sure Councillor Schilling will actually be able to convey to those attending the relevance of this, where the consequence is that cars end up out on the street. Ask. That's essentially it, because many of the cars can't fit in so-called carports and garages. It's part of the reason why that space turns out to be a pool table or anything else other than what it was designed to be. So cars are getting bigger, not smaller. That's the trend, SUVs, and I don't think the Australian standards is keeping pace with contemporary driving habits of our community being bigger vehicles, let alone four-wheel drives, Mr. Mayor. So I so move and wish Councillor Schilling well in Canberra with this.
Just clarifying, Councillor Hull, staff have suggested the addition of a clause that allows Marion's Chief Executive to alter wording without changing the meaning, and Ms. McKenzie informs me that it sometimes happens that the ALGA comes back and says, oh, we've got a similar motion, can you just change this phrase or whatever to be consistent. My understanding is that wouldn't change what you've talked about there as being 3 metres to 4 metres, for example. But are you willing to incorporate that or not?
To be pragmatic, Mr. Mayor, yeah, I can see how that might eventuate. It might be that 3.5 would be better than 3. These things get negotiated. I get that. Thank you.
All right. So that's on the screen now. Councillor Crossland had a question before I ask for a seconder.
Yeah, just a quick question, probably to Councillor Hall, and that is sort of just half answered it. I just wondered why he wouldn't go for 3.5 for the width, but also look at extending that length of vehicle, because 5.4 for a lot of cars is too short. So even if you get your width, a lot of the bigger cars won't fit in the carport still. So even if it was just 3.5 and 5.8,
well, you'd get most cars. I'm taking that as a suggestion to the mover to amend the motion.
Or a question why you went for 3.5.
Well,
on the
sort
width.
Of a question. Councillor Harlan, quickly.
Yep. Look, it's a good point made, and I'm happy to take that on board.
So the move is incorporating the suggestion into the motion so that 4 becomes 3.5. I would spill meters differently as well. That's more of a clerical issue. So it has been moved. Now, Councillor Vlescu, what have you got?
I'm going to go the other way. Do we need to actually have the garage doors higher for some of these vehicles? Because there are some vehicles that can't get in.
I'm loath to be to entertain sort of suggestions without evidence and so on. At least Councillor Hull has gone and measured his carport before he's put this up. But unless you've got something specific in writing, it makes it very difficult, Councillor Vlescu.
Well, I just think that, you know...
But I'll just ask the Councillor Hull if he's thought about that, if he wishes to entertain anything.
Mayor, I haven't thought about that, but could I just get back to Councillor Crosland? I thought we were going to add the length in as well. That was my hope.
Oh, very well. And so, and what would you... And the minimum width and a minimum length of... What was the number?
I would say 6.
6, yeah.
And a minimum length of 6 metres. Right. That was incorporated into the motion with leave of the meeting. Now, some other member has suggested putting in the height as well for the whole box and dice. Councillor Hull, you don't have to.
I'm not aware of the height being an issue unless you've got, you know, a
right.
Small bus or something.
Enough said. So at the moment, I'm asking for a seconder. Councillor Mason, wish to speak to that?
Yeah, look, I'd like to second this. I am a driver of a bus, not really, but a SUV, and I need access both sides to let children in and out, and there's no way I can park in a standard driveway. Standard carport, let alone a car park at the shops. So I second this.
So I had a mover and a second. Anyone against? A question, Councillor Schilling, and then I'll go to Councillor Masika.
My question is with regards to how this works at ALGA more than anything. Like, if I'm supposed to stand up in front of the convention and talk about this, am I going to be supplied with any form of talking points?
Council staff will assist you amply, I'm sure.
Wonderful.
Councillor Masika.
Your Worship, mine is a question that are we proposing this for South Australia or are we proposing this for the national?
Because the national, if not international, but at least national. Yes.
Because I'm reading the Australian standard. They say a typical double carport has a width of 5.4 to 6 metres and a single carport is usually 3 metres wide. The depth will normally be from 5.4 to 6 metres. If we have four-wheel drive or large vehicle, then we may need to increase the size slightly. It depends on the owner, but this is the standard in Australia. So that's why I'm asking, and looking at Perth, they have their own standards, and New South Wales, they have their own standards. So how can we propose something for which problem might not be accepted anyway?
Well, I think you're straying into debate there. The very intent of the motion is to ask everyone else in Australia to consider a wider and longer minimum length of garage. It's been moved and seconded. Is there anyone speaking against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. So just over the page. Page 140, Councillor Telfer to move.
I'll move that the art installations of the three wells be a part of the new Warakawi Plaza, and there are examples there on page 140-141 of what is and is important to our a sector of our community that knows the stories of Warakawi, the Warakawi homestead, and also know the stories of the Hamilton family. And there are other pictures there that support that. So move.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, anything to add? Any questions or anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull?
Question. Mr Mayor, I'm not necessarily against the motion, but Has anybody actually seen these three wells or have photos of the three wells? It's been raised with me a number of times, and it's almost like an urban myth, unless somebody can tell me otherwise, that the wells actually existed or there's photos of them.
All right, Councillor Telfer may address that in when she closes the debate. Any other questions or speaking against? Then I'll revert to Councillor Telfer to close the debate and answer the question about historical veracity, etc.
I understand that Warrakowee, which was built on a bit of a rise, which was very unusual in a very flat area, had three wells. So I recommend the motion to you.
Yes, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Well, again, that's carried unanimously, and I hope everyone sees the rich irony that the three pieces of artwork depicting the history of the colonial homestead didn't feature in the redesign of the plaza when the 20-year-old building there is heritage listed. But anyway, that's how it breaks. The question on notice as to waste, did anyone have any question on that? Then Councillor Hull, it's on page 144.
Yeah, Mr Mayor, I didn't really get an answer to my question because I asked specifically for the tonnage relating to the amount of waste, petrusible waste and recyclables that are incinerated. I didn't ask for how much went to landfill.
So Ms McKenzie, what's the remedy for a councillor if their question with notice is not answered fully?
Through the chair, we can take the concerns of the member and then represent it at the next meeting.
So is that a question on notice or just adding the question with notice to the next meeting's agenda?
We will bring it back as a question on notice and revisit to ensure that all of the elements have been answered correctly.
The relevance of this, Mr. Mayor, is I didn't think of this during a shower. I had obviously had contact from a resident.
Order. It's being taken as a question on notice. It'll come back to the next meeting.
There's, I need to get back to a resident. That's the point I want to make.
You can let them. You can provide them with the answer that's been given and you can say that you're expecting further information.
Okay, thank you.
I declare the meeting closed.